G'day everyone, and welcome to this show. And today we've got Dermot Kelly. How you going, Dermot?
I'm fantastic, Peter. Yourself?
Good, mate. Thanks for coming on the show.
It's a pleasure. It's a lovely day today in Adelaide. What's it like in Melbourne?
It's starting to clear up, which is good because we've got a Skywatch event tonight that I'm doing here. So hopefully she keeps up good. But it's been bloody cold, which isn't Melbourne's, you know, four seasons in one day. But it's been a bit colder than normal for this time of year. So something weird's going on with the weather. But anyway, you're located in Adelaide, which is in South Australia. You're originally from England. You came here when you were about 10, is that right?
I was about 9 and a half, yeah. We came by boat, so we're the original boat people. that's a dig at our Prime Minister. I'd like to see him kick us out now, but anyway, after all we've contributed. So anyway, yeah, it was about 45 years ago we arrived in this beautiful country. And my birthday's in July, and 2 days after my birthday, my first one in Australia, man set foot on the moon, or so to believe. So, I'll never forget it.
Yeah, and that was, which is another story within itself. Now, you've been on a lot of programs. You've been on Alfred Webber's program too. Would you mind filling myself and the listeners and the viewers on a bit about who you are?
Okay. I'm just what I would classify as just a working class guy. Up until the age of 50, I guess I was just like everybody else. I loved my football and I loved my soccer and I sort of like the cricket, you know, when there's a bit of banter between England and Australia. That's great. I love that. But when it comes to a sport, I think Australia's a fantastic country for sport, and I just love the passion that the Australian people have got. But in the last 5 years, I've awakened, so to speak, because there were so many things in my life that were going different, and I kept experiencing different things, and I never really put two and two together until I started to awaken. Mm-hmm. And it took someone like David Icke to actually wake me up. Now, I know he focuses on the negative and all the rest, but I think we all have a role to play in this pantomime. And David's role is to get us angry, to wake us up, to get us angry.
I love his work too, and it's... He covers a lot of areas. Like, he does go on about the reptilian thing, but as the same as myself, he does say that they're not all bad. It's just they happen to be one of the forces and that there's another force behind them, which I totally agree with, and I thumbs up to him. He's done a lot.
And I guess being English myself, I resonated with him. I saw him here in Adelaide. But rather than focus on the negative and get angry, I figured, you know, okay, let's start looking at solutions. So the next step that I took was, I don't know how I came across all of this, but I managed to see Lisa Harrison interview Alfred Webber and Dr. Sam Muggsy and Tolek and people like that. So then I started to get an idea of what was actually going on, as opposed to all the negative. So then I thought, well, okay, let's go a bit further into this, because this was interesting, you know. And being the family historian that I am, I like to be a bit of a detective, and I like to put two and two together and come up with five. Because I don't tend to follow society like everybody else. I tend to be unique, I tend to be different. And there's a lot of people that can attest to that, I can assure you.
Same for myself, mate. I know what you mean.
But where was I? Where was I going? I don't know. But yeah, when I put the pieces together, I realised that, that's right, I came across the movie Thrive. Mm-hmm. And Foster Gamble. Now, there was the people that brought David Icke to Adelaide and to Australia brought Foster Gamble to Melbourne.
All right.
In 2011. So I actually came to Melbourne. And I saw Foster, and it was the Solution Summit in 2011. So I started to focus on solutions and what can we do and how can we get around the system and, you know, how can we do things to help humanity without getting locked up and being seen as an activist or a terrorist, because I've never in my life been an activist. Because I can't see the point of protesting because they don't listen. I mean, watching the people, you know, in the 60s protesting against Vietnam, as a young boy, I thought, well, that's a waste of time. They keep locking them up.
Yeah.
So what's the point? You know, yes, I have the fire and the passion to do that, but I'd rather be a bit more productive and you know, come up with a better solution and attack them from their weakness, not mine.
Yep.
Because if I'm attacking them and getting angry, I've got nowhere else to go. So,
and it brings you energetically down doing that too, because it's just butting their head up against the wall. That's all it's doing.
And of course, that's what was happening in my life. You know, I found that I was headbutting the education system at school. I was headbutting the society when I was at work. And it's only in the last 2 or 3 years that I've learned to calm down and say, hey, just think, it's in here, think. So, and that's where I come from today. So one of the unusual experiences and awareness was when I was 3 years of age. In the northwest of England. And my dad was wallpapering, and I think he asked my mum, you know, to bring him a bucket of something or other or whatever. And of course, you know, I'll help. And I ran into the other room, didn't realise they'd rolled up the carpet, tripped over the carpet, fell into the open hearth fire. Now, it wasn't raging, but it was, the coals were simmering.
Yeah, yeah.
So they were still very, very hot. But I never burnt myself, and there was no physical scars whatsoever. And my parents absolutely panicked, and they managed to get me out, dust me off, and they couldn't understand why, you know, nothing was wrong. So I had an awareness back then, you know, when I look back. I've always had clairvoyant and clairaudient abilities.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout my life at various times where I've heard my voice, I've heard or I've seen images, but I've never been able to work out what it is or why it is, or so I never really thought of it as that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Just recently I was asleep, fast asleep, and I hear this on my pillow. Now, I know it's physically impossible to tap on a pillow, but I could hear it. I could hear it, and I knew someone was trying to get my attention.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I don't know why, but I instinctively grab my phone, get onto Skype, get onto Facebook, and bang, one of my friends in America is messaging me. I mean, that's weird.
Yeah.
That's weird shit. I mean, I'm fast asleep. But I know when people are trying to get hold of me when I'm asleep.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of shit going down when I'm asleep. I know that.
It's just, there's, you're part of that, like everyone is part of this conscious grid, but you can tap into it, and those that, you know, once you start to awaken, the stuff like you're talking about, you know, you seem to take notice of the signs even more, whether it's the tapping, first thing that comes to mind, which is how a lot of this works, and we've all got these abilities. It's just, you know, reading the signs to go, shit, it's not what I thought it was. I'm already tapped into the grid. I'm already having, you know, psychic-type stuff happen, and it was the same for me. I used to tell my parents and everyone, I'd hear this female voice in my head all the time, and I talked to doctors about it and that, and my mum spun out because I used to tell her what this voice told me was going to happen about a lot of things. And sure enough, it always happened. And some people thought I was schizophrenic, and then I said, but the voice is telling me nothing but positive things. And they end up being, they had to prove themselves to me. And years down the track, it was one of the Pleiadian contacts that I've got that's actually a light being, not the physical type, though they do exist. And that's when I worked out, oh, this is who was doing that all those years. So what it is, I think a lot of the time it's not even just another being. I think it's our higher self, which it seems in the case, a lot of what you're getting may be communication from something else, but it's also your higher self, the unbounded part of you, filtering through into your body computer.
That is definitely right, because you've got your conscious mind when you're awake. You've got your subconscious mind, which influences your conscious, but then you've got your higher consciousness, which looks after your total being. And that's when, you know, they say your guardian angels take over. Now, everyone's got three, so I've been told.
Yep.
And when I was on Dr. Sam Muggsy's show 2 years ago, when I was on holidays, she was doing some free readings. And she actually told me that I've got 26 different star beings around me. So I'm well protected. Mm-hmm. And the only reason they're there is because I'm here for a special mission. Now, what that mission is, I have no idea. But I do know that I'm getting more and more awake to what's going on. And I'm actually connecting people now. So I actually connected Ray Kosolandich with Dr. Sam Muggsy just recently. Mm-hmm. He was interviewed by Alfred Weber. And I noticed that you spoke with Simon Parks just recently as well.
Yes. Yep.
And I've actually been trying to get in contact with Simon so that he can also speak with Dr. Sam Muggsy, and also that Ray can come and speak with you. Because all these people have got a message to tell humanity, and it's urgent, more so now than ever before. It's got to get out there, because the reason we're seeing more and more UFO activity, and the reason we're tapping into ourselves, and I say the higher consciousness, is because they don't want to land and cause mass panic, because that's what would happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're doing it slowly over a period of years so that more and more wake up, so that more and more realize the reason why they're here. And it's all part of our ascension process. But we've also got to understand that there are good and bad out there, just as much as there is good and bad here. Mm-hmm. But there are more good than there are bad.
Yeah.
So as part of that discussion with Dr. Sam Muggsy, she also said, I'm one of 54 people that have been incarnated at this time. I'm a very ancient soul. She never said whether I was an earth soul or from another planet or whatever, but I do resonate very, very strongly with Arcturus, and I don't know why, but I actually did research on all the different star systems, and that's the one that resonated strongly with me. And I told Dr. Sam Muggsy, and this is where it gets freaky, because Alfred was on a show not much before me, talking to Sam, and I didn't even know, and we had the same vision.
And what was the vision?
Well, the vision was of a tall, very tall, now, if I was to put it in perspective, probably 6'6", maybe even taller, in a white, long robe with long blonde hair. And the other two people in the background, now, I couldn't see the colours, but I was told that they were actually purple, very dark purple. So in the dark, it probably seemed dark, you know, dark. And they were smaller figures, probably 5'8", something like that.
Did they have big black eyes at all?
I couldn't see the eyes.
trippy.
But in this vision, I understood that I was in a room. I couldn't see any walls or floor, but I understood that I was in a room. And I was shown what I now know is a hologram of the earth. And I was asked two questions. The first question was, I have to decide which life do I want. Now, I know this sounds really trippy and really weird, but it keeps coming up all the time. And I was asked, which life do I want? Because I'd accumulated enough good karma that it's now karma free, this life.
All right.
So I could choose a life where I was comfortable, enjoyed life, but I was to awaken people. Or I could choose a more difficult life and be in the working class and really understand the 3D reality that's on this planet and how it's being affected by the negative forces. And I chose that one. And I was actually, and I can relate this to Google Earth now, but in the hologram, it zoomed in on a house in the north of west of England. And I could see my parents. And my mum was, you know, cooking away, and then she brought the tea to the table, and my dad was coming home from work. And this was before I was born. How freaky is that? You know, I could visualize the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And my mum tripped out when I told her. Whoa, what was I doing? Did I look nice? Did I have my makeup on? But she freaked out. And I chose that life because I knew instinctively that was the life for me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as it's turned out, I'm the eldest of six, and we've had some interesting times as a family, but we've been very blessed and we've been very lucky with our health,
yeah,
and our lives, but we've had our challenges too. And when it comes to being financial, well, I don't think we've ever been financial. We've just managed to get by.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, we've had to struggle like most people do.
Yeah.
But you see, that's what I needed in this 3D reality incarnation so that I could understand what it's like. Because in the talk with Dr. Sam Muggsy, she actually said to me, you report back to Arcturus. You've also been schooled on Arcturus and in the Pleiades and with the Andromedans. And she said, and you've got a Pleiadian sweetheart, haven't you? And I said, pardon? I said, that's news to me. So,
is that the missus, is it?
No.
In the Pleiadian part?
Yeah, in the Pleiadian part, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I was getting up to him when we first started talking because I do guide sessions, and it's just funny you said that straight away. I love it when that happens.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. What else did she go into about the info for you, and how's that helped you on your journey?
Well, as you can imagine, when I was first told all of that, it freaked me out because I'm thinking, how the hell did that happen? I mean, I've only just woken up to what's going on in the world. And I did. I tripped big time, you know, and it took me a good few months to digest that.
Yeah.
But you see, since then, I've had more clairaudient, more higher consciousness contacts while I'm asleep. I've been more aware of everything going on to the point where there has to be some sort of truth to it, because when I was talking with Alfred and even to Ray Kosolandich, who has met 32 species, none of it actually surprised me. You see, normally if someone isn't awake, that sort of stuff would go, bang, ah, bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, no.
It resonated with you.
It resonated with me. And the reason it resonated with me, because in my heart and in my higher consciousness, I knew. And if you know anything about the Acturians, they have this all-knowing. They have this knowing. And it's hard to express in this 3D reality, because how can I explain this? In this 3D reality, I get misinterpreted a hell of a lot.
Yeah.
Because my thoughts don't match my words. And I really do struggle. And it's got me into a lot of trouble. But you see, I've got broad shoulders, don't care. Yeah. Been there, done that, got the T-shirt, got the mugs. The film's coming out next week. That sort of attitude. Because at the end of the day, there's far, far too much stuff happening to people across the world. And when you realise how much has been suppressed, it's no wonder we're going berserk, you know, with all this stuff. So I need another question, because I'm going off on a tangent here, aren't
I? I just wanted to say, to me, it would be what my partner Sorita calls a connector. I've heard other people say it as well, but it seems like you've got more of a connecting position in what's going on. Now, you do have your roles. You've got multiple roles, but a major one that you've even picked up on is that you're connecting people.
Yes.
And some people, that's just what they do. They've got no friggin' clue why they're here or what they do. And that's even part of what it is for myself. I do the shows and I film a lot of crafts and have interactions and do guide sessions and whatnot, but it's like I just don't know what the hell's going on. Half of the time I feel like I'm a vehicle for something else. But in your case, I feel that you're a connector, and this is even what you're picking up on too, because you're connecting people up from different parts of the world, and you have this drive and need to do it. And usually if you've got to do something and you don't know why you've got to do it, but you've got that drive.
Yes.
You want to get the information out and everything else, but there's something else at play here, and this is part of your job. And doing that is sort of like you're the dude that connects to the strands up on the spider web going different directions, so everyone's got some connection cross-correlating. So that's really what I feel is part of what's going on for you. The other side of it too, I think, with a lot of it, is that a lot of the time we can't know fully where we're going, even though we are awake, because it's just, it will screw with the conscious grid here, things being able to put more roadblocks in our way than what they already are, meaning what we could term archonic or reptilian, although the reptilians are being controlled and manipulated by something a lot darker, but it's sort of like a protection mechanism, along with, if you had full recollection of what's going on for you at night, and you're aware, and because you're awakening now, slowly this is going to actually come into fruition, what's really going on, parts of it. But like I said to, I've said to a lot of people, if they see what I've seen, I don't think they could deal with it, because it's really hard for me. I thought, like, there's times I've been around the bend from what I've seen, because you're breaking down the 3D programming.
Yes.
And once you're in contact with your higher self, your God self, and then other things, it's still a lot to take in, but it's not as bad as the initial waking up, where it was a lot more physical for me than most, but I give the astral and the, just as much validity as the physical, if you understand what I'm saying.
Well, two things. I'm going to go digress a little bit, where when I was 12 years of age, we'd only been in the country a short time, because I was 9 and a half when we arrived. It was a hot summer's night. Mum and Dad got to know the next door neighbours. They were from, I think, one was from New Zealand, one was Australian.
All right, yeah.
And the three oldest in each of the families, myself, my two sisters, and the three eldest girls next door, we sat down on the driveway. It was a summer's night. I think it was February or late January. And I'm pretty sure it was 72, 73. I'm not, without a regression, I can't tell you exactly. But the parents decided, okay, we'll just pop to the local pub, have a quick pint, you know, for 1 hour, and we'll be back. And they were. So they were responsible. Well, in that time, opposite our house was a big reserve where we could play football, cricket, soccer, you name it. And right on the opposite side was a playground, and you could hear the children playing there, and you could hear the metal clanging and, you know, in the wind.
Yeah.
And it went dark. And halfway through the discussion with the girls, I heard this whoosh, and it sounded to me like a skyrocket, you know, firework.
Yeah.
That you put in the old milk bottles and you light it goes straight up. It was at that moment that I stood up and I said, ah, that's a skyrocket. That's all it is. And I could hear the children move across. I had no idea whether they did or not, but it sounded like they were, you know, walking across, and maybe that's what they did. Well, it was at that point that I looked to my right and I went, and I must have stared for what seemed like 2 minutes, but it probably was 45 seconds, I don't know. And it was probably twice the height of the street light. So, I don't know, maybe 30 foot up in the air. It was half the size of a soccer pitch, so it would be at least 50, 60 yards long. And it was all these different coloured lights buzzing around, and it mesmerised me. So I saw this UFO. Now, I remember when it disappeared and took off, and I remember in my head saying, don't go, don't go. But they did. Now, when I went to sit back down, it was as if nothing had happened. And when I asked my sisters and the other three children, they never saw it. Years later, my parents came back. I told them, saw a UFO. No, he didn't. Yes, I did. I saw one. And everyone didn't believe me. The 6 o'clock news, the night after, there was a lady down closer towards Adelaide was hanging out her washing, because, you know, you hang your washing out late at night in summer, it dries by the morning. And she saw it, and she was on the 6 o'clock news. This thing had flown from the northern suburbs to the southern suburbs. And it was actually documented by the Adelaide UFO Society, even.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I distinctly remember it, but what I don't remember is between seeing or hearing that skyrocket and looking to the right and watching that UFO. Now, without a regression, I won't be able to know which order it was in. Because like your regression, when you heard that sound, that was when you came back,
yeah.
not when you actually saw it. So I'm and of course that clicked in my head, and I'm going, when I saw the skyrocket, was that when I came back and I had to divert their attention? Do you see where I'm coming from?
Oh, 100% see where you're coming from. And this is where, even though I've got a lot of experiences in terms of interacting, these are the things that do play with the human mind not knowing it. There's been times where I've been out of town and I've knew that they were going to rock up, and there was people with me, or another person in one incident I'll relate, and there was a flash, and then all of a sudden, not long after, there was another flash, and a craft appeared just above a gum tree about the height you're talking about, and it looked like half a ball that was a fireball, and on top was a city, and there's a dude that was on, instantaneously, this thing goes up and turns into a white light and then shoots up and goes. And the person with me knew that we were taken, and I didn't go into too much because I didn't want to freak her out, but I remember what happened on the craft. And there was no friggin' missing time. There was no missing time. It was a flash, that's when we were taken, flash, the craft appear above the tree and continue. I knew from all the equipment I had with me that there was no missing time. So this stuff was, there's just no missing time. There was no condensed time. But wow. It was an experience where I was on the friggin' craft with what my mate Giles refers to as Pooh Man that looks like E.T. from the movie E.T. And I know stuff happened with him, but the time that could have happened on the craft compared to Earth time, it was no, there was no missing time, which you cannot explain. It's not nuts and bolts. Yeah, so when you say that, I understand, because just like in the regression, as you said, that sound was when I was put back. So something's obviously happened, and yeah. The aspect too that you're bringing up is very important about how other people were with you and didn't see that.
Yes.
Again, Giles, who I mentioned just before, he was at James Gilliland's ranch. I don't know if you've heard of James Gilliland with the East City Ranch.
Yes.
He's very good mates with James, and he spent probably 3 months there all up on and off. And there was an incident where I think Giles was with another person, and they're on, I think it was called the Field of Dreams there, and James is sitting in a chair with his back to him, and there's a crowd of people not too far from Giles and his mate, and there's a friggin' orb about 6 foot big, I think, just floating off the ground. It was down, it wasn't in the sky, it was down low. And James didn't turn around because he's just like, oh, what are you seeing? And they're like, oh, this big orb. And he's like, I've seen heaps of them, you know, so he didn't bother. But they're trying, him and another bloke are trying to tell the crowd of people, look at this friggin' orb. And they're like, where? And they're like, it's just friggin' there. It's just there. No one could see it but them too. And yeah. I've had a lot of experiences where people have not seen the crafts with me, and others have, and then this is even being captured on camera. And the people can't see it, and then I show them the footage, and they're like, shit, it was there. But, and you can't miss it. So how this happens and how it plays out is different all the time, and the reasons behind it for the cover-up on their end, I guess, there are multiple reasons. But a regression by someone like Mary Rodwell or Lee Kerr or somebody with that deals with this, where the ET stuff that isn't out there, it's actually what they're into, it would probably help. Because I was very sceptical about regressions myself until I got one done. That's why I hadn't had one for a while. And it was amazing what came from it, because a lot of information and what happened during it was not expected. So if you ever get the chance, I recommend it.
Well, I have contacted Mary, and at the moment, I've got far more pressing things
going on
my life at the moment. But and that's the 3D reality of coming down, you know, unfortunately. But look, when I get the opportunity, I most definitely will do that. There's no question. I mean, I've spoken with Mary privately. And she's a lovely woman, and I think she's great job, absolutely fantastic. And I'm, you know, it's kind of weird in a way that we are all spiritually connected somewhere along the line, whether it's part of the same family or cousins or star cousins or whatever. We're all here, and we all know what each other's doing from a higher consciousness level, but individually, we're all trying to, where am I? What am I doing? But between the lot of us, we help one another.
Well, we're working in one way as a collective.
Yes,
we are. It'd be what I would call, I wrote a book called Operation Starseed, which was the best way I could put it, because even though we've all got different backgrounds and facets and places we're from, we are working together on an operation to help here.
Absolutely.
So there is that point where what this obviously shows is that there is some group effort in the other realms to help here as a collective.
Yes, because we couldn't do it on our own.
Exactly.
We need help. We have to be humble enough to say, please help me. I'm in the 3D reality. I can do as much as I possibly can in the 3D reality, but you also need to do your bit in the spiritual side of things, which is what they're doing. They're doing a fantastic job, and which brings me to what Dr. Sam Muggsy also said, is that What I learn from my experience here on Earth now will help me in my new career. And of course, I'm thinking, well, I'm 55. I'm not looking for a new career. She said, no. In your next incarnation. Yeah. She said, you will help with the ascension of other planets, not just Earth.
Yeah.
And what you learn and what you're learning from this is what you will take into the next step.
It's the same shit that I've just written in my latest book that's about due out. I'm getting absolutely blasted with energy as you're saying this, because it is all helping on another level.
Now, I suffer with what I thought was the same thing as my grandmother, tinnitus, the ringing in the ears, because I get it really bad.
Yeah, it's not... Yeah.
And it's not tinnitus, because it doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
But I do have to tell them at times, turn it down. I'm not deaf. I can hear it. And I just got a contact right then when I said that. I got a zzzz in the background. So they're quite aware of what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I know they're aware. And I know they're listening in. And that's great, because we all need to connect at that level somewhere. Because... if we don't, then we're going blind.
So where are things at the moment for you in terms of all this? Like, you're networking, you're getting people connected together, and it's an ongoing thing. I know that you don't know exactly where things are going, but where do you feel they're going in terms of the information and the people you're talking to?
Well, it all started when I decided to contact Alfred. And Ray Kosalandich calls Alfred the Wizard, because Alfred is very well educated, knows a lot and is doing a lot. And he's going through a bit of a hard time at the moment, as we all know. But with our help, he's going to get through this. There's no doubt. But and I don't want to take sides, because I'm a bit like yourself, Peter. I like to hear every bit of story, evidence, you name it, and then everything will play out, because we've all got a role to play. And if we don't play those roles, no one's going to learn. So we all have to learn the positives out of that.
Yep.
So it all started when I contacted Alfred to talk privately, and he said, Dermot, you sound like an interesting character. Would you like me to take this? And I said, oh, I don't know about that, Alfred. And he said, come on. Well, he didn't plead with me, but I just said, okay, yeah, go for it. Because my higher consciousness said, do it.
Yeah.
But deep down, I thought to myself, you've just put yourself on the world stage, you twit. And I didn't want to do that, you know. But at the end of the day, I thought, no, there's something more to this. And obviously it was the beginning for me. So it was out there. Dr. Sam Muggsy is a friend of mine on Facebook as well. And she also contacted me and said, oh, you sly little fox. You've been talking to my friend Alfred, haven't you? And I said, yes. Come on my show. And I said, well, it's a bit difficult because her show starts when I leave for work.
All right, yep.
And I start work at 11:30, finish at 8 p.m. So I'm on the late shift, not the early shift, the late shift. So it's a bit difficult. So I said, look, we'll pick a day when I'm on holiday or an RDO or whatever. So we did. And I did that show as well. After those two shows, I obviously did more research. I had more experiences. Excuse me. The tapping on the pillow, which we know is physically impossible,
yep.
Especially when you're asleep. I mean, you tap on a pillow, that ain't going to wake anybody up. But I can assure you, I heard it. And there was my mate at the other end. But... since then, I've had all these experiences, and I've actually contacted Ray Kosalandich privately, and he's a fantastic guy. He's actually retired. He used to work for General Motors.
Yep.
And he's just a lovely guy. He's met 32 different star beings, and I believe he's about to meet number 33. And that will be possibly February, March, I think. And he will do updates on all the various shows that he's connected with Laura Eisenhower and Elizabeth Mulligan with Diamonds Are Forever. No, sorry, not Diamonds Are Forever. I'm thinking James Bond here for a minute. Diamonds something.
I know. I was on that show not too long ago with Soul, I think. I know what you're talking about. I can't remember it off the top of my head, too.
And then, of course, you've got Tolek. And Tolek, Alfred, and Ray are often in contact as well.
Yep.
Privately. So all of a sudden, I've actually been in the inner circle, so to speak, of the big guns. I mean, Alfred, Tolek, and Ray, Laura Eisenhower, and I believe there's another one in America. And of course, Simon from England. Mm-hmm. They're all the big major players that have got a message. And the reason they've got this message is because it's more prevalent now than it's ever been. And all of their sources pulled together correlate to visitation in 2017. Now, we all know that predictions usually go askew, because once we have a prediction, the conscious collectiveness can actually change that. Mm-hmm. It can either speed it up or slow it down, yep, depending on the consciousness. And that's why they're reluctant to give dates. They refer to events. But it just seems so strong that 2017 at some point is going to be the key pin in this whole ascension process.
Well, I've got very similar information. I don't ever get dates, and that's where I'm very cautious with people that say they do, because through all my experiences with the beings I interact with, basically what you said is the best way to put it, is being termed events. And there's never been, because things can be sped up, slowed down, and even stopped, like you're saying. So, but I do know that from now up to 2016 is going to be one hell of a ride. We're seeing it more now.
Yes.
People are waking up more than ever in terms of just the overall common people, the common man, see how we're being screwed up the backside, and they're actually seeing the signs now rather than, oh, the government wouldn't do that. They're now saying, bloody, look at what these wankers are doing to us. They're seeing it now. So there is a big change going on. A lot of what Alfred and Simon say, I don't know too much about the other players that you're talking about, which would be good to interact and get them on to see what they're saying. I have seen a couple of things Laura has done, so... And overall, it's pretty much different pieces of the same puzzle. It does resonate with me, and obviously it does with you too.
Well, they all have different experiences and different backgrounds, and they've all got a part to play. And, I mean, Alfred's been very supportive of many people in the past and given them a platform, and I think he would be the first to admit that, like myself, I tend to trust people myself way too much, because at the end of the day, people like us that trust people implicitly usually get bitten somewhere down the track. And it's not a fault. It's actually, how I see it, as compassion and empathy. We like to be able to help people, and this is why the truth resonates so strongly with us, is that that's the way we are. And we want the truth to come out, but we don't want to play these silly games. But unfortunately, the people that are playing the silly games have their role to play, and that's how they see it, and that's how they do it. And it's not us versus them, because we're all one. It's as simple as that. And it's showing us the bad side of us, and it's showing us the good side of us. So, without getting too political, I'd like, or exopolitical, I'd like to say that let things flow. Things will work it out. I mean, water always finds its level, doesn't it? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, and if it finds its level, the truth will be revealed anyway.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the events that you're talking about, in particular, I don't know if you've heard Tolek's comments about Ison, Comet Ison.
I haven't heard his comments, so give us a download on that if you can.
Okay. It's massive. It's so big that if it passes by Earth, and I say pass by, I don't mean hit Earth, but if it passes by, the electromagnetic field is so strong that it will cause earthquakes, floods, tsunamis, fires, you name it. Event, so to speak. Okay, see you later, love. Bye.
Sorry, now, with the comet you're talking about, is that referring to the one that's already passed, Comet Ison? Is that what you're referring to, the one that already has passed?
It already has passed, yeah. And it's coming back.
All right. I didn't know this. All right.
It's coming back. There are people that are talking about Planet X and Nibiru and all the rest, but it's all the same thing. It's Comet Ison. It's going around and it's coming back. But this time it will be a little bit closer. And on board there's 5,000 crew members, I believe, from 30 different star groups.
So it's actually, the comet is actually a craft?
A craft.
I think this is similar to what James Gilliland had said before it first passed. All right.
So, and on this craft, they've got the technology to slow down the electromagnetic effect on the Earth.
Yes, yep.
Mum said look at your robot
mate. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
See ya. Children.
Children. I know what that's like now.
Oh, dear. Don't forget your mobile phone, she says. Yeah, I've got it right here. Oh, dear. Okay. The electromagnetic field will be disrupted in some way or form, and it will cause events on Earth.
Yeah.
Now, they don't want the planet Earth to be destroyed or humanity to be destroyed. They have the technology to be able to help us survive this. It's going to be a bumpy ride, like you said, between 2015 and 16. But once all of this event has happened, that's when they're talking about visitation. So if you start to see some unusual events, like snow in Adelaide, and I mean 6-foot drifts, then you know something's going on.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the way I understand it. Because Comet Ison is going to be hovering around because they're being guarded by two massive ships. In fact, when it came through the last time, people thought it was one big boomerang, but it was actually the spherical craft with two craft either side. And they're there just for protection. Not that they need protecting, but it's always there just in case.
A little bit of help.
A little bit of help, and it doesn't go astray. And we have the Procyon people, who Tolek speak about, to thank for helping with the actual Earth itself, getting rid of the reptilians. Now, what I have heard is that most of the reptilians are actually off the planet and there's only 250 left.
And who have you heard this from, if you're able to say?
I've heard that from Ray Kosolandic.
Mm-hmm.
I've also heard that 2 seconds, I'm going to have a drink. I've also heard from Julian Wells, who has the Pleiadian connection, that, and I don't know if your viewers are aware of it, but this information has to get out. So whether it's Julian or whether it's me or whether it's someone else, whether it's Ray, it really doesn't matter who does it. We just have to get the information out there, because once people start connecting people and connecting the dots, eventually we will all know why.
Yeah.
So from the Pleiadian connection, and I'm getting that, God, I had a blank then for a sec because I just didn't. I get distracted very easily. No, I've lost it. Ask another question and it'll come back to me.
Yeah, no, that's all right. So you're talking about the reptilian. There's only, what, 200 and something reptilians here on Earth at the moment, or in this area?
At present. And they're doing everything in their power to disrupt everything. But as you know, they've lost their power pretty much.
Yeah, but basically, yeah. And some of the ones I've interacted with said they can't evolve going down the path they've gone. So some of them actually want to change their ways. Then the ones that appear not to be, they're overshadowed from what I understand. But again, there are many different types of reptilians, just like there are many different types of Nordics and other beings. And, you know, there's just different agendas and different things going on behind the scenes. So I can only say from what I've experienced, and it's just like what you're relating, you can only go by what that person has experienced and what their information is. But like you say, if we all talk enough, all the dots are going to connect enough to where we're going to come to some understanding.
Absolutely. And I mean, look, no one's saying any of this is true.
Yeah.
You know, we have to put it out there so that people can make their own minds up. We're not saying, we're not the news. We're not the 6 o'clock news saying that's exact, you know, there's exactly 250. There might be 238. There might be 260. Who knows? But there's a few. It's a round figure.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, they're here, and they won't be able to stay. Once this event happens, the resonance of the Earth is getting so high that they're going to go anyway.
Yeah.
But they're trying to create as much hell in the meantime as they can. That's the bad ones. Now, the good ones might be saying, well, you know, we want to stay here. Please, can we go with you?
Yeah.
You know, and why not? Open arms, yeah, by all means.
Anything's possible.
Anything's possible.
Yeah.
So, I'm still trying to think of that Pleiadian.
No, that's all right. Before we wrap it up, we've got about 7 to 8 minutes to go. Is there anything that you would like to cover that you would really like to get information out on, or for people to look at, things have sort of got your interest sparked, or that you see that there's really something to that people should be looking at?
Well, forget the news, forget the 6 o'clock news, forget your politics. In fact, just tune into yourself. Start looking at why we're being distracted. I mean, we all love our football. I mean, I love my soccer. And I, you know, I was at Hindmarsh the other night when we won the cup final. But it's a distraction. Now, I don't always go to the football, but I love my football. And I know there are people that love their Aussie rules and their cricket and whatever. But at the end of the day, they must understand that there are changes happening for a reason, and what they are going to experience is going to blow their minds, something shocking. So rather than bury their heads, just listen to what people are saying and understand that it may or may not be true, but it's going to be a hell of a lot more understandable once things come to fruition. Because when we do get visitation, we're the people they're going to be talking to. They're going to go, well, he knew all about it. Ask him. And believe me, they all think I'm cuckoo. They do. They think I'm absolutely Loopy loo loo la la. Yeah. Ready for the nursing home.
Yeah.
Well, I can assure you, it's got nothing to do with that. It's the fact that I'm actually tuning in more and more that I sound loopy. Yeah. And I can tell you, there ain't nothing loopy about this subject because there are so many people. That's what I wanted to talk about, Peter, just very quickly.
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
There are two types of UFOs. There's the human element, the military-industrial complex, mm-hmm. which do the abductions. And then you've got the, and I'm not going to call them ETs, I'm going to call them the star people.
Yep.
The star people have their craft. Now, they do not do abductions. Okay? Now, there are people that will agree and disagree with that, but I believe most of the abductions and the experiments have been done on the human side.
Well, I've experienced that firsthand, exactly the military taking me, which wasn't revealed till later. And if you asked me this about 2 years ago, I would have disagreed until now I realise that when these little brown dudes from Orion, when they take me, I used to scare the shit out of me. I'd be like, yeah. What the hell is this? I have a heart attack and, or felt like it.
And they'd be okay.
And well, now, yeah, and now I know that I've agreed to it all and I interact with them. But it was the human element on me that was betraying that what they were doing is an abduction. But when I have been taken, I've got big-ass marks on me, and I'll tell you what, the military have done that shit to me. And they've done it with their own graves that they've created and other ones that are actually biological, and they've done it with their own shit. And they've all done it under a reptilian archonic agenda.
Now, listen to this. This is what else has been coming to me. Mm-hmm. And it's out there too. This is out there, so you can research it. Mm-hmm. The military have got their own ET craft and they've got their own ET greys, mm-hmm. so that when they plan this ET...
False flag,
people are already psyched up. Oh, yeah, ETs are bad, abductions, they're going to come and get us. That's all the human element. All the guys that are out there, yes, they look scary. You only have to look at Ray's drawings on all the types he's seen. They look really hideous, some of them. But they are really nice people.
It's just the programming that makes us think that about them.
And they've been with Ray for 55 years. So this isn't something that's happened just recently.
Yeah.
55 years. Since he was 12 years of age. Now, I'm 55. That's all of my life. Now, I know for a fact, if I've been doing something all of my life, I'd believe it for sure.
Yeah.
And yes, he was scared as a little boy when he met these guys, but now he's meeting all sorts of creatures that you wouldn't even dream of, but they're nice people.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't hurt us. And they're here to help us with ascension. And they're actually trying to slow down events so that, in fact, that's what I heard at the Andromeda, the Pleiadians. They're actually slowing down the effects so that when we do get the events, not too many people will die. Only those with the soul contracts will die. In other words, those that have already said, yes, I don't mind being part of the collective to sacrifice my life this time so that, you know.
Yeah. Being collateral damage, so to speak, I guess.
Collateral damage,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there are people like that that will do that.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, our star cousins and family are actually saying to us they're slowing it down as much as they possibly or physically can so that we don't have as hard a time as what we would have if they didn't intervene.
Yeah.
They are going to intervene. In years gone by, they would never intervene, but they realise that the events that are going to happen are so catastrophic, they have to intervene with their technologies to help us. And that's the message. We have to get it out there that they're here to help us. If you see an invasion of any sort, it's human.
And people go, how could that be? Well, they've just got to know, and this is from personal experience, that the military, why they can do what they can do is because they got friggin' ET technology. It's not human technology. It is interdimensional technology where they do have sources and different types of crafts. They're able to teleport in and out. They have got the same technology, which is why it's been hard for the other side to do what they do, because you're almost working with the same technology, because both sides do have highly advanced technology. It's just out of the public domain, and the average Joe doesn't know about it, which is therefore the government wouldn't do this, or they wouldn't have that, which is breaking down, as we said earlier, because the average Joe is seeing how it doesn't matter whether you vote for Labor or Liberal or the Republican or Democrats, wherever the hell you are, it doesn't mean jack anymore. And it never has.
And do you know the difference? The difference between the humans using that technology and the Star Brothers and Sisters? The difference is these guys are using it for good and the military are using it for bad. Now, it's also the consciousness of the human.
Yep.
The human is always thinking, right, if I can suppress and keep them scared by doing this, this and this, and it may not work as well as the good side.
Yep.
Even though it's the same technology, it's like different racing car drivers using the same car
yep.
and the same mechanics.
One thing I've noticed too is there's less wear and tear. When it's our dudes, it's less wear and tear on you. When it's the military, you feel like you've just been drugged or you're a bit grogged up, which you do sometimes get with the other side, but it took me a while to notice that there's just less wear and tear.
Well, absolutely, because they're here for your benefit to teach you something. And if it's in your sole contract to do that, then you will experience that for sure. Like I said, I don't know what my sole contract is other than connecting people and reporting back. Now, how do I report back to Acturus? I've got no idea.
You'll be leaving the body at night. You'll be getting in that other facet of your oversoul, and you're doing it exactly at the same time as what you're doing is talking to me right now.
maybe that's it. I mean, I do know that I suffer with severe sleep apnea now that I'm in my mid-50s. Thank God I'm in my mid-50s. Getting all the aches and pains. But I thought I wasn't sleeping well because maybe I was going off into other realms and meeting people on the other side of the world. Well, maybe I am, but I've also got the physical deformity up here that's creating it, and it's causing me absolute grief. But you see, that was part of my contract. Yeah. I had to go through all the aches and pains and all the physical ailments of a 3D reality human and work in the working class suburbs to understand the negative forces and how they affect our governments and everything else and the bullshit that comes out of that. So I can actually report back and say, well, humans aren't that bad, because even at the lowest levels and they're suppressed, there's so many good people. I've met so many beautiful people that have wanted to donate hundreds of thousands of dollars to anyone, anywhere in the world to help, but they can't because they don't have the money, they don't have the time, they don't have the resources. Yet the people that do have the money and the time and the resources, they're not doing a damn thing. Or they look like, I mean, look, Mr. Gates, for example. Oh, let's, you know, inject all these Indians and Africans and you know, so that they've got the same healthcare as us. Bullshit. I mean, come on. Wake up, guys. What's happening to them?
Yeah.
I mean, look, you haven't seen me get passionate yet, but I tell you what, I'm fired up.
Well, hopefully we'll end it there, but it'll be good to get you back on sometime and get your opinion on a few other things and to look at other things that are going on and any updates. So,
absolutely.
Look, we'll wrap it up there again. We'll have a chat quickly off air as well, like we said. But look, thank you for being on the show. Thank you for sharing your experiences and what's going on and for you and who you're connecting with and that knowledge. And again, people, hopefully, you know, this fits somewhere in your puzzle or it sparks some flame in your mind to go down another direction or to look at things. And that's all we're both trying to do is make people think and play their little part in, you know, going with what resonates and what works for them and what fits in their little piece of their puzzle too.
Absolutely. And what I would actually add is that anyone that wants to write any negative comments, be my guest. I've had enough negative in my life and I know how to deflect it. Those that have got positive thoughts, thank you very much, because those that are focusing on the bad, you'll just get more of it. So be my guest.
Exactly.
Goodbye and God bless.
Thanks, mate. Thanks again for being on. And, yep, cheers, everyone. And bye-bye.